I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season? When it was going on, why you didn't say I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now, so you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem. You know why nobody say anything while it was going on?
It's funny, the folks who have come out and called Mike Fiers a snitch, especially the closer we've been to guys getting fired, punishment being handed out. Players squawking. Jessica Mendoza called Fiers a snitch, and she damn near got run off of her job on Sunday Night Baseball. She's still with ESPN, but she's getting reassigned to something else, and a lot of people think her opinion, which is essentially the same one David Ortiz just had about Mike Fiers, is what may have gotten her moved. Big Poppy says it, and everybody's like, hey, it's Big Poppy. You know, like Big Poppy. And I don't think Big Poppy really cares about catching heat for it,
right,
is my guess.
The one thing is with Big Poppy, and I've noticed this with myself, if I'm going to be completely honest, it's very easy to kind of cherry pick his opinions that you like and don't like and say, yeah, look at Big Poppy is, because right. Remember during the playoffs too, there was a stretch where Big Poppy was kind of on the Astros side.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden,
yeah,
he becomes the wisest voice in baseball.
Yeah.
Versus, all right, Big Poppy, who just kind of goes off. I don't like trying to shame whistleblowers or anything like that. I think from Fiers' standpoint, there are a lot of people in baseball who either accurately or inaccurately thought that the Astros were still up to their shenanigans this season. And in those people's minds, because they couldn't believe that the Astros could possibly be as good as they are, and because they knew what they were doing in 2017, then they believed it was still going on. So Fiers, after, you know, Jonathan Lucroy, the catcher, had an interview where he said that he had talked to Fiers about it, the A's had complained to the league about it, the league didn't do anything about it. Fiers took it upon himself to go public with it. So whether you agree with that or not, I don't think it's as simple as, hey, they could have put an end to it by handling it on the field. I also think that in 2017 that you can't necessarily expect the pitcher to step in and get hitters to stop doing something.
The outcry around the league in the last week is any indication.
Yeah.
Mike Fiers is going to be hailed as a conquering hero in ballparks around the country that he goes to this year. It's pretty much, and you know who has a lot to do with that? You know who is probably most at fault in that becoming the dynamic? The Astros and the way they've handled it over the last week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the way that that Thursday press conference, it became the lightning rod for everything. I think Mike Fiers is going to be, I think Big Poppy's opinion is in the minority. And I think around baseball, whether it's opposing teams or opposing media or opposing fan bases, I think Mike Fiers, the Astros are no doubt the villain. And almost by definition, Mike Fiers is the hero in all this.
I guess
a lot
he
of
is.
People.
They asked him if he was going to request extra security when they come to play in
Houston. Said he's got death threats. There was an article in one of the Bay Area newspapers yesterday that said he's had death threats.
It's funny. He said that, I kind of respect it. I'll paraphrase. He said, I don't know if I need that, but I guess I could just handle that myself. Like, oh,
okay. Right. That's a bold proclamation.
Big hands of Fiers. Yeah. And but he also said a few times, you know, people are just really crazy. They're really crazy. I'm not worried about it. I think what he meant to say was that on social media and whatnot, people are kind of getting kind of crazy. But he doesn't anticipate it being a problem in real life. That is interesting. I would imagine, I would imagine he's going to have extra security around him.
It only takes one really crazy person.
It takes one psycho.
Right.
Right. It takes, like with Monica Seles, it takes one crazy it takes one crazy fan to do a really horrendous thing. So I would imagine around Houston he'll have extra.
I think he may have it everywhere to start the season just to err to the side of caution wherever he goes. Big Papi had some other things to say about Jose Altuve. And Jose Altuve, who does Big Papi believe what Carlos Correa said about Jose Altuve being clean in all this?
I heard Correa the other day say to Kenny Rosenthal that Altuve had nothing that had to do with because he don't like it. And let me tell you, I believe that. But let me tell you what the problem is. Just for being part of the group that was doing it, you are guilty as much as everybody else.
So guilt by association. Text message. I think players in Major League Baseball are grandstanding. They mostly agree with Ortiz, in my opinion. It would have been fun to take a poll of all these players who are talking now as to how they felt about fires the day after the article in The Athletic came out in November. You know what I mean? To see how many have changed their opinion just based on how the Astros have conducted their business, or they sense the opportunity to sort of pile on.
Well, and that's where it's interesting, too, is I think there are, since we know that, I shouldn't say we know, that there's a chance that as many as eight, nine, ten other teams were employing similar methods. We know that there are probably a lot of people out there that are being pretty quiet about it and kind of just hoping that all of this dies down after the Boston results get released. So we know that part of it. But it is also, it's that kind of situation where we've seen a lot of old school baseball guys say either, you know, on one end say, oh, I would definitely be beaning these guys. They cheated it. They deserve it. You have other old school players saying, what's the big deal? It happened. Mm-hmm. This happens all the time. I think with current players, there's probably a broad spectrum too. But because of the current nature of the discourse, who the hell wants to be the active player that stands up and says, well, actually, I don't think it's that big a deal, you know, or because then all of a sudden you're under the veil of suspicion. So, and again, I'm not diminishing it or anything like that. I'm not trying to say, hey, everybody does it. That's just the reality of the situation is there's always going to be a spectrum of people. And right now it's super, super easy to be the guy that's crushing the Astros.
Absolutely.
And really there haven't been, I feel like there's a perception that it's been way more players than it actually has. I think there have been a few notable guys. Is it more than a dozen at this point that have really taken it to the Astros?
It's funny. It's probably a little like the NFL, the CBA. It's only the big names that are speaking out about it. But because big names are speaking out about it, maybe we just paint the whole thing with this brush that, man, I don't know if the players like the CBA that's been proposed.
Yeah.
You know, it's been big names. It's been Bellinger. It's been Trout. It's been Justin Turner.
If it's not a big name, it's a guy like Mike Clevenger who's just openly talking about beating players and calling the old Houston fan base trash and all of that.
Right. One more from Big Papi, and he is the first I've heard really kind of bring up this possibility that this might mess with Altuve a little bit.
I can Altuve to me might be the best hitter in the game, but look at where he got caught into the mug that he's into now. I don't know how he's gonna be able to deal with all the trash coming from fans and everybody every time he step on that plate. So if you might see him this year struggle, I don't think it's going to be because he missing knowing what's coming. You mind play a big role in the game.
Do you think he's going to struggle? What's your concern level over Altuve struggling?
My concern would just be that it's an unknown as to how any team's going to deal with this level of vitriol from fans. I mean, people hate the Yankees and people hate the Red Sox, but it's not the same level of this hate. That's just good old-fashioned sports hatred. Right. This is really impassioned, emotional hate. I don't know how big it is outside of New York and L.A., though. You know, I don't know how bad it's going to be a lot of other ballparks. The Yankees and the Dodgers are the two teams that seem to have really, you know, for obvious reasons, really, really taken this on as the battle of the century.
Here's the one that would have been very interesting.
Yeah.
If the Astros had closed out the World Series this past season against the Washington Nationals, if they had closed, because that would have then really put 2019 into the spotlight.
Yeah.
And they play the Nationals today, by the way. We're going to talk to Adam Spillane in the next segment. They play their first spring training game this evening at 5 o'clock local time against their campus mates out there in West Palm Beach, the Washington Nationals. Seth, that's the one that would have gotten really interesting because the Dodgers are squawking because of the 2017 World Series. The Yankees are squawking because of both the 2017 ALCS and the 2019 ALCS. It's the reason why we're seeing Altuve clutching his jersey after hitting that home run. If the Astros had closed out the World Series, I guarantee you the Nationals would be saying just as many things as those other teams, or at least the prominent players from those teams. Maybe Anthony Rendon would be singing a different tune. He's actually been moderately defensive of the Astros, maybe as a native Houstonian, yeah. That's some of the case. But what would Strasburg and Scherzer and Soto and other guys from the Nationals have been saying if the Astros had actually closed out the World Series?
Right. Well, and this is where, and again, I think whenever you start bringing up the possibility of other teams doing it, the immediate reaction is, well, hey, don't say that it's right just because other teams are doing it. I don't think anybody is saying necessarily that it's right or wrong. What they're saying is the Astros are taking all the heat for this. And even when the Red Sox stuff comes out, I think people are anticipating there won't be as much. And that'll be easy to blame on the Astros because it was Alex Cora that brought it. So I think that it's a matter of saying, all right, the severity of the backlash that the Astros are getting right now is unfair if 9 or 10 other teams are doing that. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That you can't paint the Astros as the one team where little leagues are banning the name Astros.
Yeah.
For the good of the children.
Think about that. I know we got to get to Spillane, but you brought it up. Like, I read that article last night. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah. Well, so that's what it is. It's a matter of putting things in context. It's not excusing anything. It's a matter of framing things the way they should accurately be framed. And is that doesn't seem, I don't understand how trying to paint an accurate picture all of a sudden turns into, well, you're just trying to act like nothing's wrong. I just want to paint an accurate scene of That's what right. the hell was going on in 2017.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, and we head out to West Palm Beach right now. He is presented by Texas Bay Credit Union. He has been just grinding in West Palm Beach throughout Astros spring training, and he joins us now. Adam Spillane joining us on the program. Adam, how are things in West Palm Beach? Is there a little bit of buzz in the air that there's going to be actual spring training baseball later on today, and we can at least begin the process of moving on from all this, at least a little bit?
Well, right now there's a chill in the air. It's cold and it's rainy, which is perfect because I ran out of short-sleeve shirts yesterday, so God had my back today. But there's a bit of a buzz today, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the spring training game. Tony Clark, who heads the Players Association, is in the Astros clubhouse, and he is meeting with the Astros players. And this is something that we've been waiting for all week. We've been expecting it all week, and today is the day where it happened. So I was in the clubhouse this morning. You got Tony Clark in there, who's in charge of the Players Union. Bobby Bonilla is in there. Dave Winfield is in there. So this is something that they do with every team in Major League Baseball, but I'm curious to know if this meeting will be any different than the other 29 that they will have.
Boy, I would imagine they might have to spend an extra day in West Palm Beach with those guys. We were just talking about before you came on, Adam, kind of the fact that if there's a chance that 8 or 9 other teams were doing similar things to what the Astros are doing, it doesn't necessarily excuse the Astros, obviously. But perhaps it would take some of this incredible, intense heat off the Astros, because the sole focus of hatred is the Astros right this moment. Is there any sense, or do you get a feeling that at any point the commissioner is going to come out and maybe shed any light on the allegations into other teams?
It doesn't sound like he has any interest in doing that. Obviously, we'll find out something, hopefully maybe today, tomorrow, about the Red Sox and what they actually did during the 2018 season. So that'll take some of the heat off the Astros. But I will say this. I've been here for 9 days. At no point this week or even last week have I heard any Astros player try to justify what they did by saying that, yeah, you know, other teams might have been doing it, so we kind of felt like we had to stay in line with them. Nobody did that. Nobody has thrown anyone else under the bus. So I think that's been one of the refreshing ways that they've handled it. They have taken responsibility for what they did. They were given chances. You know, the question was asked, are other teams doing this? Are other teams doing something similar? And nobody would ever take the bait on it. So I give them credit for that.
Adam Spillane joining us from West Palm Beach. Adam, is there any inkling of concern that the commissioner is going to, I guess, succumb to all of the vitriol that's out there right now, all of the demand for some other sort of punishment, not necessarily on the players, because I think that's a dicey situation to go back on immunity, but tack something on to the Astros here just because there are so many torches and pitchforks going on right now?
No, I don't think anyone. I think that once they laid out the punishment on January 13th, I think everyone just figures that's going to be it. I don't think as a commissioner that you can do that. I don't think that you can be reactive like that. Now, if something comes out that maybe the Astros were doing more than they said that they were, and maybe more details come out that way, then maybe that's when you tack on punishment. But at this point, the commissioner has given out his punishment, and I think that that's just the way it's going to stay at this point.
Adam, moving on to actual baseball matters, there's a battle for playing time between Josh Reddick and Kyle Tucker. Tell me if you can interpret this dusty quote for me. The longer it goes, the more it's in Reddick's favor. The shorter it goes, the more it's in the younger player's favor.
So what he meant by that is that essentially it takes the older guys a little bit longer to get up to where they need to be when it comes to game shape, just because they're older and it just takes time for that to happen. When you're younger, you come in and you're ready to go immediately. And I don't know, Seth, if you experienced that when you were playing, that when you were a rookie, you came into training camp and you felt great and you were ready to go. And then when you got a little bit older, it took you a little while to get into shape. I think that's what he meant more than anything.
You know, that's a great interpretation of it, Adam. And I think in football, maybe it's a little bit more the guys, the young guys, or sometimes it's the more athletic guys look a whole lot better early in camp. And it's the veteran guys that are savvy and know how to game plan versus actual opponents that it's either take a while to get going or you don't see their actual value until you get into the regular season and you can see how they game plan for various people.
That's funny because the way I hear it is I almost hear it like they say in boxing, like to beat the champ, you got to knock the champ out.
Yeah.
And if it happens early, it means that Kyle Tucker has clearly distinguished himself. The longer it goes, the more you go, well, tie goes to the more experienced player. Would that make sense too, Adam, do you think?
Not really, to be honest with you. I just think if you go the first 2 weeks of camp, and let's say Josh Reddick is hitting 150 and Kyle Tucker is hitting 350.
Yeah.
I don't think that will change anything with Dusty Baker. I think that he's going to say, you know what, Josh Reddick has been through this many times before. And in all honesty, Josh Reddick knows his body and he knows how to prepare himself for a season. Whereas when you have somebody like Kyle Tucker, he only really knows the one way to play, and that's just come in, hit, and go that way. So I don't think anything that happens in the first part of spring will matter. Now, if Kyle Tucker maintains just a monster spring and Josh Reddick struggles, well, then maybe you start to see Kyle Tucker getting the majority of the at-bats over in right field.
Adam Spillane joining us from West Palm Beach. What are you most looking forward to seeing in the spring training? Are you going to be at the game this afternoon, Adam?
No, they open tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay.
Game 8 of the World Series is tomorrow. In all honesty, the first two games, I wouldn't really – There's not going to be a whole lot to really look for. Yeah. Obviously, I think some of the regulars will play, at least on the position player side. But when it comes to the pitchers, it's going to be Christian Javier starting tomorrow, and then they don't have any big league pitchers that will follow him. And then Framber Valdez will start Sunday, and they don't have any big league pitchers on the schedule for that game either. So there's not a whole lot to look forward to in those two games. It's early spring training. I think when you start getting into next week, I believe Justin Verlander may start on Thursday. Mm. Those are the games where you'll start to pay attention a little bit.
And Adam, I know you're not going to be, even though you've been at practice every day, obviously I know you're not going to base this answer on anything you've seen just yet, because evaluating pitchers during spring training is really hard to do. But who's your early favorite in the clubhouse to be the fifth starter?
To be the fifth starter, I think it'll be Austin Pruitt. I just think that at least early on in the season, I think that just the fact that they like the versatility of Josh James in the bullpen and high leverage situations, I think early on that would give Pruitt the upper hand. And you know, I think that Josh James wants to start, but I think that he mostly wants to be in a position where he can impact the game more. And in all honesty, I think as a high leverage reliever, I think that you can impact the game a little bit more doing that than as a fifth starter where you may be pitching to the fifth inning.
Adam Spillane, West Palm Beach, Texas Bay Credit Union, has been bringing you Adam Spillane and Brandon Scott throughout the last several days at Astros spring training. Adam, we appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, it's been fun. Thank you.
All right, there it is, Adam Spillane. I had a rough 3 minutes there. I threw a theory out there that Adam Spillane completely dismissed.
Summarily executed it.
Completely. Yeah. Just shot it down like a skeet shooter. And then I asked him about the game taking place tonight, which is taking place tomorrow. If you had me in your fantasy broadcaster team, I did not score you many points.
You know,
tonight.
Sometimes in the movies where somebody like shoots somebody out of nowhere, like you don't expect it. And it's a gangster. It's either a gangster. It's like an army general or something.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wait, this guy's about to argue for his life. Boom, dead. That's what he did
That's
to you.
That's what he did to me, yeah.
It's very shocking. It's very jarring.
Yeah, it was I kind of liked it. I'm like, okay, good. It's kind of nice sometimes when people just don't agree with you. That was a rough 3 minutes. I hope I recover from that. But that was Adam Spillane, brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union.
The Nationals will be starting Scherzer tomorrow, though.
They will be starting Scherzer. All right. Well, I know who to bet against now. All right. But you know who I blame? I'm going on our sister station up in D.C. this afternoon, and part of it in the text I got from their producer was, yeah, and we can preview the Nationals and the Astros. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, they must be starting up Friday. You know, I haven't really checked the dates on it. We've been too consumed with non-game stuff here to even look at the schedule. But then I'm thinking to myself, boy, they really want me to get on there and talk about whoever's playing for the Astros in this game. If they ask me about this game, I am going to give them an answer. I'm just going to start cackling. I'm going to start laughing. Like, you guys?
Nobody's ever asked about it. No.
Let me show you the text. They want to preview the Nationals and the Astros.
Oh, they do?
That's what it said in the text.
Not the game, though. Not the actual spring training game.
Just read to you what they sent to me here. It's, hey, Sean, it's Brock for Chad Dukes and the fan in D.C. Any chance you may have some time tomorrow at 4:35 Eastern to do the show and talk about Stroh's Nats this weekend?
Oh, okay. Wow. There you go. You know what's interesting is I talked to those. I don't know if it's the same stations. That's the same station.
Same station.
Here.
I think it's even. Same station, but that was the midday show.
They were broadcasting from out of here during the World Series, and they were talking about how things had changed so much because they barely talked any Nationals a couple years ago, or now it's a lot of Nationals. But if they're actually going into breaking down actual spring training games and having you on to do that, that's an impressive, if not foolhardy, adventure they're undertaking. I think
it's a suicidal thing to do in drive time radio preview of spring, even for the defending World Series champions.
There are people, though. You know what? If we wanted to, we could get into it and just try to sell the drama of somebody has a bad outing. You know what always happens in spring training? Somebody's working on their slider.
Yeah.
The opposing team knows that you're working on your slider and you get shelled.
We could.
And people do freak out about it. They're like, oh, my God, Lance let up 6 runs. What the hell's going on?
That sounds like a lot of work.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of faking.
Yes. Yeah. So I am doing zero prep for that game, for this interview.
Somebody said don't embarrass yourself like Landry. When Landry went on in New York, did he embarrass himself?
Landry
did
great.
Did well.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to listen to any of it?
I have not. I don't, because I know Landry, for those of you that don't know, Landry went on New York's big station, the WFAN, like the original sports radio station.
Yep.
And they have a guy in the evening up there who kind of almost does a shticky, like plays a character like, I'm morally superior to you. So he was bringing Landry on, and Landry knew what he was in for.
Yeah.
So Landry right from the get-go started off combative, said he was disappointed in Yankees fans for how thin-skinned they were.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He started off, I'm sorry.
He started off by saying he was going to apologize.
Yeah.
He gave the old, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that's something detrimental about you. You know? So he's like, I'm sorry I overestimated the stones of Yankee fans, which was great. I thought it was a really good way to kind of disarm the guy.
So everybody I've talked to said that he did pretty well.
He did really well. Yeah. The drive-by insult, I knew when it was getting escalated a little bit, was when the guy's like, well, Landry, with takes like that, you're never going to get out of the midday.
And Landry said...
Landry replied with, oh, I didn't realize I was on in the prime time here in the evenings.
The night show is such a big deal in New York.
Yeah,
wow.
Nice.
City that never sleeps. Sounds pretty exciting there in the Big Apple.
That's right. Nice counterpunch by old Lan Locke. I liked it. Yeah.
So I guess to get back to the topic of whether it's going to affect Altuve or not, like Big Poppy suggested that it might.
Right.
The one thing I wonder is, okay, Altuve's never been the villain before by a long shot. Villain's the guy. Altuve's the guy that other fan bases can't help but respect.
He's universally beloved.
So now, even though it very much looks like Altuve didn't participate, he's still, in many people's minds, the face of the scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much that might affect him. That's the only thing I would worry about.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.